You are going to hear some words that made it an historic day in the United States. This is Friday, the 6th of December, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Remember, you can be a part of this program. Just join us on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, China set some conditions for a Phase 1 trade deal. One South Pacific island nation is shut down. We will tell you why. It is all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi directed Democratic leaders on Thursday to proceed with articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump, declaring that he has abused the power of his office. Pelosi's words came in a brief but dramatic statement.
The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security, by withholding military aid and crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into his political rival. Yesterday, the Judiciary Committee, the American people heard testimony from leading American constitutional scholars who illuminated without a doubt that the president's actions are a profound violation of the public trust. The president's actions have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when he says and acts upon the belief, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want. No, his wrongdoing strikes at the very heart of our Constitution, a separation of powers, three co-equal branches, each a check and balance on the other, a republic. Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit. The president has engaged in abuse of power, undermining our national security and jeopardizing the integrity of our elections. His actions are in defiance of the vision of our founders and the oath of office that he takes to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary. Thank you.
President Trump on Twitter reacted defiantly to Pelosi's statement, saying the do-nothing radical left Democrats have just announced that they're going to seek to impeach me over nothing. Joining us from the U.S. Capitol is VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson. Catherine, what's the timetable now for the next step in this impeachment proceeding?
That's actually the million-dollar question up here on Capitol Hill. You know, we heard from Speaker Pelosi earlier today, where she did provide a lot of detail on her thinking about asking for the House to proceed with articles of impeachment, but she didn't provide a lot of detail on how quickly that would happen. Now, here's the things we do know, is that the U.S. Congress has about 11 days left in session in this year, and we know that the House Judiciary Committee is also coming back next Monday with a hearing where they will review the report put forward by Adam Schiff's House Intelligence Committee. The fact that that hearing is being scheduled on Monday means that they have the entire week open for even more hearings and for drafting the articles of impeachment. That signals that they are going to move quickly and have this vote by the end of the year.
Has the White House chimed in at all? Are they giving any indication how they're going to fight the impeachment charges, if they are at all, now that the Judiciary Committee is with what they've come up with already?
Right, and they actually have that deadline coming up soon to make that determination and inform the House Judiciary Committee if they're going to participate in future hearings. The thinking up here is that they most likely will not. They will continue with the strategy that they've had throughout this impeachment inquiry, and that's to call it an illegitimate inquiry, and that by sending counsel up here to these hearings, they somehow legitimize it and recognize it. I heard from the GOP leader up here on Capitol Hill, Kevin McCarthy, today. He was asked this very question, and he said he thinks it's right for President Trump to make this decision.
Well, let's talk about the Republicans, the representatives, the House representatives. They've given their total unanimous support to the president. Is that going to continue as far as you know?
By all signals, it's going to. From the Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee and on the House Judiciary Committee, listening to the questions they've been asking in the hearings these past few weeks, sounds like they are going to stick with the president, that they are holding fast to this idea that he did absolutely nothing wrong in that July 25th phone call with the Ukrainian president, and that we can expect a party line vote right down the middle, that we have Republicans siding with the president when those articles of impeachment come up for a vote, and with all Democrats voting against him.
I've been speaking to some relatives and friends overseas, and there really isn't a really hard understanding among what I can consider and they can consider, most people listening, about what impeachment is and what is this the impeachment right now? And does the impeachment make him, now we know the answer to this, but a lot of people don't, does the impeachment make him automatically guilty, the president?
Right. I think actually people overseas are actually very much in the same boat with a lot of people here in the United States of America. We're all learning about this impeachment process because it is so rare in American history. It's a two-step process. And what we're doing now is that first step in the U.S. House of Representatives. When the articles of impeachment are drafted and come up for that full House floor vote, then when the Democrats vote them those articles through, President Trump will be considered impeached. What that does is trigger a trial over in the U.S. Senate, where the U.S. senators are almost like jurors, think of them in that way, where they will decide upon the president's guilt or innocence. If they find him guilty, then he would be the first president removed from office through that process.
And we should also mention that while the U.S. House of Representatives is the majority Democratic House, the Senate is controlled by the Republican.
That's right. So it's a little bit of a foregone conclusion here now that we know that articles of impeachment are being drafted in the Democratic majority U.S. House, that they will pass here. Now, when that impeachment trial gets to the U.S. Senate, where Republicans hold the majority, the president himself thinks that that's going to be much more favorable for him politically, is that he's going to be able to pass through that and not get impeached. He will be acquitted in the U.S. Senate. I would have to say that, you know, looking at some of the Republican senators like Mitt Romney, others, that, you know, this could be a little bit more of a tougher road for the president than he thinks it is. And really anything can happen in terms of the daily political battles that play out here. Be really interesting to see that happen, and probably likely will start in the new year.
Well, we should tell people around the world, too, that if you tune in to VOA, and maybe not so much VOA, but the commercial TV and radio networks and online from the United States, you're going to hear pretty much nothing but what's going on that we're talking about right now, right?
That's right. That's very true, is that impeachment is the biggest story in the United States right now, and it's tied again with funding the government. We're going to be voting on articles of impeachment likely in the week before Christmas, and government funding runs out at the same time. I would not be surprised if those two political battles come together here in the United States just a few days before the big holiday.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Catherine. Catherine Gibson is our congressional correspondent for the Voice of America, and I'm sure we'll be talking quite often in the next month or two.
I would bet on it.
Take care. If you want to find out everything about what is happening as far as the impeachment, why don't you join us on our website at boanews.com and all of our social media platforms. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at boanews.com. North Korea warned Thursday that it would resume using derogatory language to describe U.S. President Donald Trump if he continues to provoke Pyongyang. Chinese telecom giant Huawei has filed a lawsuit in a U.S. federal court to throw out a Trump administration rule that bans phone carriers in rural areas from using money from an $8.5 billion government fund to purchase Huawei's equipment. Australian police say they've charged three people in connection with a seizure of nearly 1.6 metric tons of methamphetamine, the largest seizure of the drug in that nation's history. A senior China diplomat offered conciliatory remarks to South Korean President Moon Jae-in amid efforts to repair ties strained by a U.S. anti-missile system. We continue on VOA Asia. China says the U.S. must cut tariffs to reach a trade deal. The AP's Charles Ledesma has more.
China's Commerce Ministry says Washington must roll back punitive tariffs on Chinese imports if the two sides reach a trade deal, indicating Beijing is sticking to its position ahead of another possible December 15 duty increase. The two sides are negotiating details of a Phase 1 trade agreement announced by President Donald Trump in October. Beijing said last month the U.S. side agreed to roll back some tariffs. But Trump has dismissed that. The Beijing ministry has said negotiators are in close communication. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Happening now in Asia, an Indian woman was in critical condition Thursday after allegedly being set on fire by two men she had accused of rape as she traveled to give evidence against them in court, according to police. Victim told police she was attacked by two men and three others on her way to the court hearing in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Residents of the Pacific island nation of Samoa shut themselves in their homes as the government there launched a massive vaccination drive to contain a measles epidemic that has killed 62 people since October. I spoke about the measles outbreak with Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the U.S. National Institutes of Health. How does almost an entire population like that on Samoa become infected or stand to be exposed to infection of the measles?
Well, measles is one of the most highly contagious infectious diseases known to man. It is really true. If someone has measles and goes into a room and coughs and sneezes, measles in the air and in the environment can last anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, and someone who even walks into that room without direct contact with the person who has measles, but measles had been in a particular space, that person can get measles. So it's highly contagious. The other thing is that the vaccine against measles is one of the most effective vaccines known to man. It's about 97% effective. But in order to prevent outbreaks, you need the community to have a level of vaccination of approximately 93-94%. In Samoa, it was as low as 50-55%. But what has happened now is a catastrophe, since so few individuals, percentage-wise, were vaccinated. There have now been thousands of cases, and at least 60 people have died thus far, which really belies this issue that measles is not a serious disease. It is a terribly serious disease in its potential and can kill and cause a degree of disease and suffering, as we are currently seeing in Samoa.
So why do you think their vaccination level was as low as it was?
Well, it was a combination of reasons. You know, one of them was just letting it slip, so the public health accessibility to vaccines was not great. And then there was an unfortunate situation, which was a public relations problem. The public didn't trust the vaccine because there was an accident, a mistake some time ago where vaccine was improperly mixed with a muscle relaxant, leading to the death of two infants, which led to a field day on the part of the anti-vaxxers because they used that accidental adverse event as a way of preaching to the people that vaccines are dangerous and you shouldn't use them. And that unfortunately led to a very strong anti-vaccine movement in Samoa, which was the major contribution to this problem.
Has there ever been a situation like this where almost all of the population, at least in recent times, all of the population has been exposed to the disease and so many have come down with it?
Well, sure. It was the pre-vaccination era. This is exactly what happened prior to the development of a safe and effective vaccine for measles. We had outbreaks like this all over the world So this is not anything that's new or novel. It's just turning the clock back to the time when we didn't have vaccines. As I mentioned, only about 50 to 55% of the people in Samoa are vaccinated. You've got to get that vaccine level up above 90%.
So what's the best thing they can do, and are they doing it already?
They are. They are. The government right now is putting a very aggressive, proactive program to vaccinate as many people as possible. In fact, they're reverting to some old public health tactics of having people signify their homes by hanging red flags outside the house in which people have not been vaccinated in order to facilitate the teams that are embarking on a door-to-door vaccination campaign.
Sounds like the plague, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it does in some respects, but they're doing the measures. They're getting help from the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The U.S. CDC has sent consultants down there to give them technical assistance with tracking and monitoring.
What are the worst areas when it comes to people being exposed to measles, and how bad is it on a worldwide scale?
Well, on a worldwide scale, there are still outbreaks throughout the world in countries that don't have it. You know, prior to the vaccination being available, there were a couple of million deaths each year from measles in the United States. There was 400 to 500 deaths per year prior to the time that we had vaccines in the early to mid-1960s. Currently, there are still countries in which the vaccination level is low, and you do have outbreaks of measles. Measles has not been eliminated in the world.
So what are the areas that are most affected?
Well, the areas that are most affected in some of the underdeveloped countries in sub-Saharan Africa, some of the Asian countries, some countries where there's war and natural disasters, such as in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. That's, you know, an unstable area that's beset by Ebola, also has a measles problem. Afghanistan, Pakistan, certain sections of India are areas where you have measles problems.
That is Dr. Anthony Fauci speaking to us about measles and what has happened and is happening around the world, specifically in the nation of Samoa. Malaysia may have an idea that will help startups which typically don't have much funding or experience, as well as more established firms which are often afraid of disruption from new competitors. Companies in the Southeast Asian nation are pairing up with newer and older companies, coming together to benefit from each other's strength and to help each other get past their weaknesses. The model could become an interesting trend across the region, as Malaysia is the most developed country in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations after Singapore, and it has given birth to a range of companies that have expanded their operations to other countries, from startups such as ride-hailing app Grab to large companies like AirAsia. Multinational consulting firm PwC's Malaysian operation, for instance, has paired with startups like Superhands, which uses machine learning to help clients analyze big data, online commerce firm Dropee, which affiliate marketing firm Involve Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news break from VOA Asia. India said on Thursday it had ushered in a wave of change for millions of slum dwellers, offering them the prize of home ownership, but it barred thousands more whose slums sit near temples, beauty spots, and rich neighborhoods. It's a landmark move for more than 4 million people in the crammed capital of over 18 million. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. We are happy you're with us on VOA Asia. MMA fighter of Cambodian descent has never set her foot in her mother's homeland, but now she's using her fighting career to reconnect with the country that her mother told her about when she was a child. More from VOA's Chetra Chop.
Kim Ching rides on top of the action here. Hey! And Kim's going to stop it.
Savannah Riem's powerful punches helped her earn a 3-0 fight record with all first-round knockouts. In her next fight, close to her ancestral country Cambodia, M aims to punch harder.
Whenever I can throw a good punch combination, that's my favorite.
Throwing a nice strong impact with that.
The 27-year-old Cambodian-American mixed martial artist is scheduled to fight her Brazilian flyweight opponent, Hayani Bastos, at ONE Championship's Marks of Greatness event in Kuala Lumpur on December 6. Born and raised in Long Beach, California, M says the largest martial arts organization in Asia is her gateway to rediscovering her Cambodian roots.
Since they're based out of Southeast Asia, that brings me a lot closer to, you know, one day traveling to Cambodia and see what my mother's homeland was like and maybe I'd fight there sometime.
I have incredible children, so.
M's mother was sponsored to live in the United States in 1984 when she was 11 years old. Later, the single mother of four struggled to provide for her family and could not afford to support her eldest daughter's early career in martial arts.
I didn't have the means to go to do any official training until I was about 19. And then I was introduced to my first ever boxing coach in Long Beach. And even then, I still didn't have the means to pay for a gym membership, but he was generous enough to let me train at his gym for free because he saw that I liked it and I was actually doing pretty good at it.
Now, the self-proclaimed shy fighter has a promising career at ONE Championship. She says she will use the platform not only to reconnect with Cambodia, but also to inspire the idea of strong woman figure there.
I would love to use that to show young women and girls in Cambodia that, you know, it's okay to be strong, just like and it's okay to be strong-willed and, you know, to think on your own and have this sense of freedom.
For that, Sovanari M keeps punching hard. I'm Chatra Chap for VOA News, Los Angeles.
This news from VOA Asia. Japan's cabinet approved a $122 billion fiscal package Thursday to support stalling growth in the world's third largest economy amid offshore risks and as policymakers look to sustain activity beyond the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Remember to visit VOA Asia Facebook every day.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers using a variety of space and ground-based telescopes say they have spotted a very rare system of three monster black holes that are on the path to a spectacular collision and merger. The triple black hole system was discovered at the center of three galaxies that had merged with each other. This trinary system is said to be located about a billion light years away and are each separated by distances that range between 10,000 to 30,000 light years. Astronomers say they found evidence that the giant black holes are actively feeding on surrounding material. The system was first spotted by the ground-based Sloan Digital Sky Survey in New Mexico. NASA space telescopes such as WISE, Chandra, Hubble, and NuSTAR were also used to gather data on the triple black hole system. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Remember to get our program on iTunes, also on SoundCloud. Download our podcast and take VOA Asia with you. Make sure you visit our VOAnews.com program page and see us on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter, which means you have no excuse not to listen to this program. And let us hear from you. VOA Asia Facebook and our email at VOAasia@VOAnews.com. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Doug Bernard, and especially to our interns who are leaving today. We're going to miss them, Hayoung and Candace. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Make sure you enjoy your day.